Parshas Tazria begins with the words Isho ki Tazria v'yoldo zochor. And Rashi HaKadosh quotes the Medrash. Rabbi Simloi pointed out that just as when Hashem created the world, man was created after everything else. Kach toirosoi nisparsha achar toiras behema chayv oif. So too, when the Torah explains the laws of the different animals, which ones are kosher, which ones aren't, etc., all the different species, and the laws related to them, the Torah first explains and discusses the laws of all the other beings, the animals, the birds. That was in the previous parsha, in Parsha Shmini. And then in Tazria Metzora, it first starts discussing the laws related to man, men and women. It's interesting to note that when we speak about creation, there are actually two reasons given as to why man was created last. One reason that's given is in order that Hashem wanted man to be able to enter into a world that was completely ready and prepared for him. So that in a sense, man would not have any excuse at all that he's lacking in anything in order to accomplish the mission that he has. And in fact, this was Hashem's intention, that if Adam HaRishon would have done things properly and would not have deviated from Hashem's minimal instructions, Adam HaRishon was created on Friday, the sixth day of creation, he would have gone straight into Shabbos, and everything would have been perfected. Unfortunately, as a result of deviating from Hashem's instructions with the Eitz Hadas, with other things, this is what ended up resulting in all types of destruction. We find another reason mentioned as to why Hashem created man last. And this reason is so that if a human being would ever feel any type of arrogance or greatness that's improper, we could always say to them, the flies were here before you, were created before you. Everything else was in front of you. And in a sense, this would help the person to feel humility, to feel a proper attitude. Rav Nosson Zal, in Likutei Halachos, in Hilchos Orla, Halacha Hey, which is part of Yoredeya, Rav Nosson Zal points out that these two reasons are actually one and go together hand in hand. In order for a Jew to accomplish his mission in this world, to succeed in Torah, to have a connection with Torah, which means a connection to Hashem, because the Zohar HaKadosh tells us, Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people are one, are all one. So in order for a Jew to have a connection to Torah, to Hashem, one of the most important qualities is humility. In Pirkei Avos, the choicest statements of all the rabbis of the Gemara, Pirkei Avos begins with Moshe Kibel Torah mi Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah from Sinai. There are commentaries that ask, what do you mean? It should have said Moshe Kibel Torah me HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why does it say Moshe Kibel Torah mi Sinai? Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah from the mountain? The mountain gave him the Torah? Or is it Hashem that gave him the Torah on the mountain? And they point out that there's an incredible critical message in these words. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one chosen to receive the Torah and the one to pass it on to the Jewish people more so than any other Jewish leader because of his success in this quality, Sinai. Sinai, Mount Sinai represents humility. Har Sinai, the Torah tells us, was the smallest of the mountains, the lowest of the mountains, and that's why Hashem chose this mountain over all other mountains to be the one upon which the Torah was given. The Pasuk says, Eshkon Esdako. Hashem says, I will reside, I will rest on the one who is low, humble. Moshe Rabbeinu succeeded in this quality of humility more so than anyone else on earth. This is why he was chosen to be the closest one to Hashem and the one privileged to receive the Torah directly from Hashem and the one to pass it on to Klal Yisrael. We find that the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that all the prophets all the prophets that followed Moshe Rabbeinu, all of them received their prophecy via Moshe Rabbeinu. So that here we see that when the Torah tells us that both at the time of creation, and then again in this week's Parsha, where it speaks about, it describes the laws pertaining to man. Point number one, man is the most important one in creation, and his mission is the most important one in the eyes of Hashem, and therefore Hashem made sure to put everything in place, everything, so that when man would be introduced to the picture, he has everything he needs to complete the purpose of creation. That's why he's last, and again, in order for him to really succeed, it's going to be critical for him to be able to remind himself that whenever he feels any type of arrogance, he can always tell himself that everything else came first. When a person has this attitude of humility, that I'm the last one on the list, this is one of the ingredients, one of the qualities that's needed for a person to succeed in accomplishing his mission. And this is why this is shown in two places. It's shown at the time of creation of man and at the time of the birth of man. Isho ki sazria ve'yoldo zochras. Adam HaRishon is called, he is the only one who was not nolad. He wasn't born to physical parents. He is called Yitzir Kapov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creation of the hands of Hashem Kaviyachol. Everyone else in the creation is referred to as noilad, those who were born. And the Torah shows us in both cases, at the time of creation of Adam, and in Parshas Tazria, where we speak about the creation of man, in both places the Torah chose to place everything else first, the animals, the birds, everything else is first, and we, human beings, are put all the way at the end. The Torah goes on to tell us that if a woman will give birth to a male child, uvayoyim hashmini, on the eighth day, yimoel besar or losoy, the child is given the bris milah, circumcision. Rav Nosson Zal points out in Nikut Halachas, Yoredeya, Hilchas Milah, Halacha Gimel, there are three things that are very similar. The Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and the mitzvah of Milah. The Torah, we're told, is the purpose of creation. It's the focus of creation. The whole existence of the world is dependent on Torah, and yet we find that the Torah was not introduced into the world formally until 2,448 years after creation. So that for 26 generations, there was no Torah formally presented, given into the world. Eretz Yisrael, the Torah makes it perfectly clear that Hashem wants Eretz Yisrael to be the land of the Jewish people, and yet we find, before the Jews entered into Eretz Yisrael, there were seven nations. When Hashem considered it the proper moment, removing them from Eretz Yisrael, and then taking over, moving into Eretz Yisrael. The Bris Milah represents the completion of a human being. Tzelem Elokim, when we speak about man being in the image of Hashem, that image only takes form after the person is circumcised. Until the person is circumcised, while they have this orla, this impurity upon them, they are not yet in the image of Hashem. It's only after it's been removed that the person is considered to be Tzelem Elokim, in the image of Hashem. So the question is, why is it in all three of these cases, the important item isn't there right away? We don't start with it. The world did not start with Torah. The Torah was first introduced at a later point in time. Eretz Yisrael did not begin with the Jewish people. The Jews were first introduced at a later date. The Bris Milah, which is so critical part of a person, the title Tzaddik, for a person to be called a tzaddik is dependent on bris, on purity in bris. And again, the child first goes through 7 days of being uncircumcised before experiencing the bris milah. We find specifically the connection between the bris and Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk says, "V'choros imoy habris." Hashem has made a covenant with the Jewish people Losseis lehem eseret haknani, to give us the land of Eretz Yisrael, the connection with the Bris and Eretz Yisrael, and the fact that before the Jews officially went into Eretz Yisrael as a nation, the Torah makes a point that Yehoshua was commanded by Hashem to first make sure that everyone was circumcised. In order to enter into Eretz Yisrael, they first had to have the Bris Milah. So we see that all, when the Torah speaks about the connection between Eretz Yisrael and Torah, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, chapter 137, Vayitein lehem arzo yisgoyim, Hashem has given us this land of Eretz Yisrael, which was first inhabited by these goyim, these other nations. Why? Ba'avur yishmeru chukov, v'soyroisav yinsoyru. In order that we will keep the mitzvahs of the Torah. So we see that all three of these are very much connected. The Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and the Bris Milah. And they all follow this same pattern. They begin with darkness, with lack of holiness. The child goes through 7 days of being uncircumcised. Eretz Yisrael went through years of being inhabited by these seven nations, idolatrous nations. And also the fact that the world existed without Torah for 26 generations. Rav Nosson explains, one of the reasons for this is, had the world started with Torah immediately, had a child been created, circumcised, and had Eretz Yisrael been inhabited by the Jewish people immediately, then the moment there would have been any deviation, any mistake, chas v'shalom, any going against Hashem, the child, the human being would have had to die, the Jews would have had to have been evicted from Eretz Yisrael permanently, or the Torah, chas v'shalom, violating the Torah, either the person would have to die immediately, or the Torah would have to be taken away from us completely. By the fact that Hashem created the world in such a way that, number one, the world existed for 26 generations without Torah. What do you mean? How can anything exist without Torah? Torah is life. The answer is, Rav Nosson Zal explained, there is what's known as a chesed chinam. There is a treasury of free gifts that Hashem possesses, unconditional love, where even if the person is not at all deserving, we know that the Torah is a concept of mishpat, justice. The Torah, a person observing the Torah, there's reward for mitzvah, there's punishment for aveira. So the Torah is based on justice, a midas ha-mishpat, a midas ha-din. If the Torah had been there immediately, then the moment there's a deviation, there's a concept of ish b'cheto yumas, person rebels against the king, they die. How can they live? A person unplugs themselves from life. If the Torah is life, then the moment a person detaches, they disconnect themselves from the Torah, they would have to die. It's only because Hashem created the world and to show that he was able to sustain the world for 26 generations with this chesed chinam, with this free kindness, this is what makes it possible, and this is what shows us that even when a Jew, chas v'shalom, falls spiritually and they become temporarily detached from the Torah, they disconnect themselves from the respirator, they don't die, they can draw sustenance and life temporarily from that chesed chinam, from that same place that sustained the world before the Torah was introduced. So too regarding Eretz Yisrael. Even when the Jews, chas v'shalom, misbehave in Eretz Yisrael, because of the fact that the Torah, Hashem showed us that Eretz Yisrael could exist, could withstand having these seven idolatrous nations in it, living in it, and Eretz Yisrael didn't explode or didn't cease or didn't throw them out instantaneously, this is what makes it possible for us, the Jewish people, that when we're in Eretz Yisrael, if chas v'shalom we commit any sins, we don't have the proper faith in Hashem, we're not what we're supposed to be, we don't have to be evicted permanently. Number one, very often we're not evicted. Hashem shows incredible patience, just as he was patient with those seven nations. And even when Chas V'Shalom, the Jews had to be evicted, and we are in exile, there is the ability for Eretz Yisrael to take us back. And so too regarding the Bris Milah, which in a sense is the most important mitzvah in the entire Torah. We find that the Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Bris is Bigimatria 612 plus the word itself as one equals 613. This mitzvah of Bris is Kolel the entire Torah. Man Tzadik, the Zohar HaKadosh says, Man Denot HaBris. Who is considered Tzadik? One who is Shomer HaBris. When the Pasuk says, V'amech Kulam Tzadikim, your nation are all Tzadikim, Rabbein Zal says this relates specifically to all the Jews who have a Bris Milah. That already puts them in the potential of that title of Tzadik. So here also, a Jew, Chas V'Shalom, who deviates from the Bris, who is poigim in the Bris, who sins against the Bris in any way, by misbehaving, related to all the mitzvahs that are related to this part of the body, the Bris Kodesh, a person would say that person immediately is totally detaching themselves from Hashem and has no ability to exist. Here again, the fact that Hashem allows a child to be in the world for 7 days as an orel, without the Bris Milah, this is what makes it possible for us, after the Bris Milah, that if Chas V'Shalom, we fall, we sin, we make mistakes in the Bris, there is that Chesed Chinam of Hashem that sustains the child during those 7 days preceding the Bris Milah. We can tap into that. That can serve as an emergency source of energy until the person does tshuva, until the person pulls themselves back in line and gets back on the track of true tikkun abris and shmiras abris. A little bit later in the parsha, in Parshas Tazria, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Tes, the Torah speaks about the laws of one of the negoim, one of the types of a blemish, a defect, a type of leprosy that affects the skin of a person. And the Torah says that if this negat soras appears on a person, he's brought before the Kohen, and the Kohen examines him. And the Kohen sees that if this tumor is a certain size, then the Kohen declares that person as being impure, tomehu. However, v'im poroyach tifrach hatzoras boir, if this leprosy expands to where it covers the entire skin, then the Kohen looks at it, v'tirasimaka, and he declares it as pure. Kuloi hofach lavon, the entire thing has turned white, toherhu, it is pure. In Likutei Halachos Yoredeya, in Hilchos Shiluah Hakan, Halacha Dalit, Rav Nosenthal explains that there are people in the world who make two mistakes. One mistake is that they think that a Jew who has risen to a very high level, spiritually, close to Hashem, that person doesn't have to battle anymore. They won the war. They've defeated their Yetzer Hara, their evil inclination, they're religious, they're doing mitzvahs, they're keeping Shabbos, eating kosher, they're studying Torah. That person is complete. Rav Nosenthal says, however, that's a mistake. Because even the greatest of tzaddikim still battle the Yetzer Hara. Their Yetzer Hara is not the same as ours necessarily. Their Yetzer Hara is not the temptation to eat another, a third chocolate bar, or to look at things they're not supposed to, etc. It's not the type of Yetzer Hara that ordinary people have to contend with. Their Yetzer Hara is an angel on a very high level who is trying to cause the Midas Hadim, the judgment and decrees of Hashem, to be imposed either on individuals or on the entire Jewish people. And these tzaddikim, these very righteous people, these high-level Jews, their battle is to try to sweeten those judgments, to try to eliminate those decrees. That's their battle. but they're still undergoing a battle. No matter how much a person advances, no matter how high a person goes, the Gemara says, Kol ha-godol me-chaveroi, yitzroi godloi menu. Whichever person is on a higher level than another one, they have a higher level yetzahara than the other one. So too, when a person goes down, there are people that think that once you've reached a certain bottom, it's all over. It's finished. You can't come back. You can't really, there's no purpose to trying anymore, etc. And Rabbi Nosson Zal put tremendous emphasis on the fact that no matter how low a person goes, no matter how far down a person falls, they're still lower than that, number one. And wherever the person is, Hashem can still be found. The Pasuk says, U'malchusoi bakol mosholo. Hashem's kingdom reigns everywhere. It reaches out and down to the furthest places, to the lowest places. And Rav Nosson Zal says there are times that when a person is very far down and the Yetzirah tries to swallow him up completely, there are times that's the moment when Hashem takes pity on the person and sends him a rope, in a sense, that Hashem throws to this person. Only after the person has reached rock bottom, all the way down, and the Yetzirah is trying to swallow him up totally, it's then that Hashem throws this rope to the person and reaches out to the person to pull the person up and to actually rescue and save the person, help them make a dramatic comeback. And Rav Nosson Zal says, this is the remez in this presentation in the Torah here, this mitzvah of Negoi, that this form of leprosy, when it's the size of a gris, a certain ordinary size, the person is declared impure. When it spreads over the person totally, then the person is pure. When the person reaches rock bottom, sometimes that becomes a springboard for the person to be able to jump up from there and be able to turn it around completely and achieve tremendous aliyah, a tremendous elevation and closeness to Hashem. That's the message that's being given here. When the Beharis is a certain size, his tummy, it spreads totally, then the person becomes taller. This is a remez that at times when a person feels that they've really reached rock bottom, that's the best opportunity they could possibly have if they believe in Hashem, if they believe in themselves, that they can turn it around, to be able to suddenly turn the whole thing around where the Torah declares the person as Torah. Both in Parshas Tazria and Metzora, one of the things that we find repeated many times is the fact that Tuma, impurity, there are usually two things that are needed to be able to remove it, to correct it. One is purification in the sense of a mikveh, this water, more so than anything else, has an incredible ability to purify a person and to wash away spiritual impurities, not just to cleanse a person on a physical level, but to cleanse the person spiritually. The second thing is time. We know the expression, time heals. And for this, Rav Nosson Zal points out in Likutei Halachos, Ora Chaim, Hilchas Birchas HaShachar, Halacha Hey, paragraph 41, that every single day in our tefillah, in our prayers, we point out the fact that Hashem is Oise Chadoshos. Hashem creates every day is something totally new. This day is something that never was and never will be repeated again. Every single day, every single hour, every single moment is something completely new. And this is our hope. This is one of the things that plays an incredible role in our Yeshua, in our salvation. In fact, we say in the tefillah in the morning, we say that Hashem is Oiseh Chadoshos. Hashem makes everything new and Matzniach Yeshuas, and thereby brings forth our salvation. Meaning that even if a person has to wait weeks, months, sometimes years to something, that's not a proof. That doesn't mean it's not happening. On the contrary, there are certain things that the only way they happen is at the end of a certain period of time. From the time that the child is conceived till the time the child is born, there's 9 months. That's thousands of hours that have to go by, and how many minutes and how many seconds have to go by from the moment that it started till the time that it's complete. Here also, when it comes to impurity, we find that there are certain impurities where the Torah tells us the person has to dip in the mikveh, and then they have to wait till nightfall. This is teaching us a message. Today you can't be pure, tomorrow you will be completely pure. There are certain more severe types of tumah, such as tumas nes, a person who comes into contact with a dead body, other things, where it requires waiting 7 days. Uvor hashemesh v'toher, the sun will set, the person becomes pure, v'achar yoichal min hakadoshim, and afterwards the person can eat from the holy foods. And this teaches us that this is an incredible, important part of the tshuva process. This is an incredible, important part of coming close to Hashem. And this is actually why Hashem is sustaining the world. Why is Hashem creating another day and another day and another day? Because of the fact that there are certain things that couldn't possibly be achieved yesterday, they can only be achieved today. There are certain things that it's impossible for them to be achieved until another 7 days from now, or 7 weeks, or 7 months. And if the person has the patience and the persistence, they'll get to that purification. And if not, the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, who tries to rob a person of this ability to wait, this willingness to wait it out, to get to the finish line, to realize that time heals physically and spiritually. And if the person will hold on and just be careful not to swerve back into the impurity, if the person waits the proper amount of time, they'll be zeicha to that matzniach yeshuas, to all the different yeshuas that we need. We happen to be in between Pesach and Shavuos. We're going through this period of purification also. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the 7 weeks that precede Shavuos correspond to the 7 days that a woman counts before she is pure for her husband. Here again, the patience and the persistence, the mitzvah of counting the Omer every single day, declaring that today is not yesterday, and therefore, just because yesterday I didn't accomplish certain things, that doesn't prove that today I won't be able to achieve them. This is an incredible chizuk, and an incredible truth that's needed for a person to be able to achieve purity, tshuva, and a true permanent closeness to Hashem. Shehi zecha to learn from all the lessons and advice of the Torah, to exit from all the impurities, from all the suffering and trouble that Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, have been going through for all of these generations, and be worthy of Hashem's true kindness in bringing us into Eretz Yisrael permanently, under the leadership and guidance of the true tzaddikim, with the coming of Mashiach and the building of the third and final Beis HaMikdash.